It is 7:30, and we have with us live in the studios this morning, Patty and Tim Crawford. They are Shoreline residents, and they have been battling the city of Shoreline and Aegis Retirement Home. I was calling them Aegis Development Corp. About Thornton Creek, which runs through their backyard. And thank you both for coming in this morning.
You're welcome.
Thank you.
So start out and tell our listeners, how did you get wrapped up in this battle?
You go ahead.
I think we ended up buying a house with the creek flowing through it, or the property with the creek flowing through it. When we were there only about 6 months, we were at a neighborhood meeting and found out the plans for where the new fire stations were going to be. And originally, the city of Shoreline proposed to condemn our property, buy up the property next door, pipe the creek, and fill in our 50-year-old pond in our backyard and put the fire station over the top. So when we found out at the neighborhood meeting what their plans were, we approached the commissioners and told them about the creek being there. And, of course, they backed off on that and put the fire station just a little ways down the street. But at the time, we didn't know that this was all going to be connected. And then the next influence that we had was we saw survey stakes going in behind our fence into the backyard of another house. And we called the city and we said, that can't be a lot back there. That's a backyard and the creek is right here. And they said, oh, okay. And we thought, okay, fine, it's dealt with. And 2 years later, an excavator comes in and starts digging out, leveling everything, all of the old stormwater berms from when they installed the freeway in 1963. They were disturbing those and flattened those out, started digging the foundation for the house. And we went immediately to Superior Court because we didn't have any kind of an appeal available to us through the city. It was a pure decision by the planning director. So we had to go directly to Superior Court, and we did. And then the city did stop work on the project. So that was the Gaston development, and they were sponsored by Sonoma Development. And then again, we didn't really know what that meant until we got farther down the road. And it was just probably a month or a month and a half or so later, and a sign went up down the street at the old cerebral palsy there beside the freeway between 155th and 145th, just to the west of the freeway, that they were going to develop there. And when my husband and I went and got the plans for this project, we had both worked in construction and knew how to read a print, and we laid it out and we looked at it, and the more we looked at it, we thought, oh my God, we're already involved with this little development behind our house. We're already putting, you know, money out for lawyers for that. How can we do this? But the more we looked at this project, it was so horrible. They were going to be within 5 feet of open water, and they were going to invade the buffer everywhere.
And the issue with both jobs is that at that time we had a 100-foot buffer requirement in the city. And the job behind our house, I think the corner of the house was going to be within 50 feet of open water. And again, it ages.
And the driveway within about 20 to 25 feet.
And the driveway within 20. And then it ages. They're building, depending on whose print you want to look at, it's anywhere from 7 to 15 feet to the edge of open water.
So none of this, if it would have been just a small encroachment, we wouldn't have put up our family's money, mortgaged our house, or spent the last 4 years dedicated to this whole, you know, save the creek. If they would have just, we both work construction. We know construction companies push the envelope. That's their job. It's the job of the city to tell them no. And it's the job of the city to make sure they're following the code. So when everything gets to court, it's all clear that the regulatory agency, the responsible agency, the city of Shoreline, would have done its job and make sure everything was kosher. And they didn't. They haven't been a regulator at all. They've been a partner in what's just this brazen attack on our stretch of the creek, calling it a ditch, trying to declassify it even as a creek because they know their laws say they're supposed to protect a creek. So how can we get around that? Okay, well, then it's just not a creek anymore. And the first day when the small house was, the foundation was being dug with the big excavator, we had planning people come out and they kept looking at our pond and, oh, it's a ditch. It's got cement sides. And we're saying, well, you convey all your stormwater through here. It just rages all the water off every street in Seattle and shoreline in those watershed areas dumped down through that creek. So, of course, the banks have to be armored or they just erode away. And he, oh, no, it's a ditch. And when we were leaving, I asked him to look at the sign out on the street that says, Thornton Creek, this stream is in your care. And he looked at the sign, and for the guy from the city said, we didn't put the sign up. That was King County.
County installed.
And so we're, as a new city, we assumed King County, but apparently he felt we didn't assume the responsibility of Thornton Creek running through there. And since then, they've even tried to say it's a dead creek from the city of Seattle north through the city of Shoreline because it crosses underneath the freeway. So as soon as it enters the city of Shoreline, it's a nothing. And then when it gets into city of Seattle, we have all that millions of dollars of restoration work going on down at Jackson Park Golf Course and fish restoration work. And then as soon as it gets up under the freeway into Shoreline, it's not a creek anymore. And they have found fish every time they've looked.
Their own biologists have found cutthroat, coho.
They found a 19-inch cutthroat
fish and
between Aegis and the freeway.
Fry above the Aegis site in Thornton Creek. So Fish and Wildlife supports that area, that stretch of Thornton Creek, in question as a fish-bearing stream.
Now, the whole reason I even heard about your story wasn't from our local media, which you would think would be covering this. It was from, at the Seattle International Film Festival, a locally produced documentary called Up Thornton Creek. And I'm sorry, I can't remember the producer of that. He was there at the...
Peter Vogt.
Yeah. And the opening scene he's got is a gentleman that's talking about that he can remember back in the 1970s how full Thornton Creek was of salmon, that you could literally go out there with a hook and pull those out of there. And so it's been recognized within the community as being, you know, a salmon-bearing stream.
Oh, yes. And in the film, when he was saying, the guy that was saying that, he's saying that in a time, in a break from building the Aegis North building. As he's building the creek, the building upon the creek in the buffer, he's complaining about where the salmon went. So it's really ironic that, you know, we can continue to do what we do, and what we do conflicts with what we believe in, but nobody seems to realize that. I'm sure everybody believed, that construction guy believed in creek fish being in the creek, and right, that being an asset for him and for the community, but look what he was doing at the very same time as he was saying how important that was for his boyhood to have fish in the creek. So
tell me more about your struggles here. You go to the city. Did you go to city council hearings, anything like that? And what was
the
reception?
Planning commission, city council meetings.
We've basically had to file the appeal right away legally because they were working and we had a deadline to stop them from working. But since then, in the past 4 years, we've had to really follow up, like my husband said, at planning commission meetings, all of the different meetings that go into changing of laws and ordinances, because when we're at court and we're winning, because this is such a rotten project, we're winning, the city attorney is noting everything that we're winning on. In fact, specifically in the orders that come out of the court from either of these projects, when it says that the city has erred in a certain part of their code, those parts of the code are now actively being changed by the city. They're either crossing them out. If a developer can't meet it, they'll just eliminate it. They change the code back and forth. They change the code for Aegis to get a public exemption permit, which is reserved for utilities and highways and things like that. And they don't even accept Medicare or Medicaid. They aren't any kind of a public benefit for our neighborhood or our city. But the city tweak their development code, let them get the permit, and they're maneuvering a lot through changing of the laws, and we feel really helpless because we have a city attorney that even after a public hearing, after the city council looked at what the changes were, we all decided what it was going to be, our city attorney puts language in, language such as the code needs to be deciphered liberally in favor of the developer, things like that, with on his own vindication. He put that into the ordinance after the public, the council, the planning commission had looked at it. And then I get my new code back, and all of a sudden, here's this language nobody had ever seen before. And what's you would think it'd be easy to get rid of something like that. It wasn't in the hearing. We could prove nobody looked at it. This was inserted later. But it, the wheels of justice on every level grind slowly. And so that ordinance is still sitting there, in which, you know, there are developers right now that are trying to build on lots that are steep slopes, wetland buffers, and stream buffers all at the same time. Our planning director is describing our code as being so vague that you pretty much could do anything that you wanted to do in Shoreline right now.
And this is all because of the Aegis Project. This is every last bit of it is because of Dwayne Clark.
And the at least the Sonoma influence.
Who is Dwayne Clark?
Dwayne Clark is the sole owner of Aegis Assisted Living and Oakmont Construction. They're the construction arm of Aegis Assisted Living.
And Aegis, are they a local business? Are they from out of state?
They are from Sonoma, California. They do have local
headquarters,
offices.
Yeah, their headquarters are now located in Redmond. They've moved to Redmond.
All right, so
but they're formally from Sonoma.
And they are both connected with Sonoma National Bank. They're officers in the bank and then officers in the company, too.
All right, so they're planning on probably doing a lot more investments here locally, and this sounds like one of their flagship projects.
Oh, yes. I think what's happened, they had plans for at least six Aegises in Washington. They did one in Totem Lake. Shoreline was the second one, and so far they haven't, I don't believe, started on any more, and I don't know if it's because of what's happened in Shoreline. I would think that it would be. But they have been buying up existing assisted living homes around the area. So they are still becoming quite an influence in the area. And they're one of the largest growing companies in America. They're profiting hundreds of millions of dollars a year.
I believe Inc. magazine quoted them as being the third fastest growing company in 2003.
All right, now
in all of the United States.
So you're going to the city of Shoreline. You're not getting any support there. Did you have any positive events occurring here where you got this to stop for a period of time?
We didn't get anything at the city level. Whenever we had any action, we had to get to Superior Court. But we have been in Superior Court for 4 years now. So we did get a stay of construction in June of 2001. When they originally applied, they applied for what was called a variance. And they applied for both the north site and the south site together as a whole. And then, of course, we were winning in court on the variance. In fact, the judge issued a stay of construction, told them to move all their equipment, supplies, everything out of the 100-foot buffer. And so they started with a brand new plan. They dropped the variance, they went for that public benefit permit, and started all up again. And then during that process, they split the north and the south site, and the public benefit permit went to the south site, and the north site, they just started building. They started building without absolutely any public process, without even calling the appellants us and letting us know we've now split the site in two and we're just going to build the north side. What they did was they took the side channel creek that flowed the whole length of the back building, which is close to 300 feet, within 20 to 25 feet from the creek. So it's a massive encroachment. They just went and declassified the creek that flowed behind that building. They said, oh, now we've decided it's a ditch. And their original variance permit, they were going to ask the Department of Transportation, of course, after they got the permit, they asked them, to let them use the DOT land to landscape on, which would be their mitigation for the creek. And they labeled it the creek. It was part of Thornton Creek behind that north building, as long as DOT was going to let them do this. Well, DOT, of course, says no. They don't let anybody use their land. And they issued the permits, then asked DOT. And DOT, of course, said no. So they decided that that wasn't going to work. They didn't want to change the design, so the creek had to change. The creek designation went to a ditch then again. So we are now going back to the city of Shoreline. At this present time, the status of it is that this north building was built without public process, that the building permit is invalid, that the SEPA, which is the State Environmental Policy Act procedure that the permit relies on, the environmental end of it, that is also invalid or void. And they need to go back and have a full evidentiary hearing on the side channel. And we are just chomping at the bit because, like my husband said, Fish and Wildlife all the way up to the Olympia level has backed us on this. That side channel's a creek. It's a vital part of the creek. In fact, side channels and off-flow water are what Coho need, and we are Coho Creek.
And Judge Ehrlich, our Superior Court judge that's handling the LUPA case for us, has admonished Aegis the whole time, telling them that they have built the north site at their own risk. So we're on track to have that building torn down, and it's occupied. And Dwayne Clark has said all along, he told our city council, if that building had to come down, they'd move the occupants up to their Totem Lake facility. So we're on track to have that building come out of the stream buffer, and that's what we're hoping for.
In fact, Aegis said that to allow them to occupy the building, because we were going to stop occupation, and Aegis told the judge they could always relocate the people to their Totem Lake facility. So they've entertained the notion that they might someday have to evacuate that building and the building would come down. And I did want to also make sure to interject in this that the Judge Ehrlich of Superior Court, King County Superior Court, has ruled that we are working in the public interest, not our city. Our city of Shoreline and Aegis have not been working in the public interest at all, and it's the Crawfords that have been working in the public interest. So that is what really raises the bar. And when you're working in the public interest as a municipality, as a city, you got a lot of power. But when you're working in the public interest as just Tim and Patty Crawford, you're just butting your head against the wall. And so we're trying to ride this out. And we've got good news that has happened lately, which I think is going to really turn the tide here for us, is that now the Aegis Corporation is suing the city. So they are suing the city for the bad permits and I think some civil rights violations.
In federal court.
So they've got the deep pockets. They're the ones that are going to change the tide here. And we said that 4 years ago, that we were being ignored and nothing's going to happen until they start infighting. And it's happening now. And if we can just keep eating top ramen for a little while longer, I think the creek will be okay.
So, yeah, it would be hard enough just you yourselves going up against a large development corporation like Aegis, but having the shoreline in with them as well just seems overwhelming. Have you gotten any support from other organizations or groups to your cause?
We have Janet Way that runs Thornton Creek Legal Defense.
They're the people with the victory in the south parking lot of Northgate.
She has really been our mentor.
She has just helped us immensely and led us through this. And as far as what they've accomplished at Northgate, being able to take the creek out from under a parking lot and everything like that, that is
just monumental.
That's what's going to be bottom line here. Because like you said, the city is not on our side. So we need the public on our side. We need the information out there. We need other people to be enraged about this. And there's such a thing when we're talking about the uneven playing field between a citizen and the city. There's a word called deference that we didn't know what it meant originally, and we certainly know what it means now. And it means that the city or municipality automatically gets the nod. I mean, they get... how would you describe it?
They get the go-ahead. They get the automatic coins in their pocket when they before the argument even starts. And it's written into city code that the hearing examiners at the city level are to give deference to the city attorney.
And the planning department.
So
you have to deal with this deference thing. That whether they're doing something wrong or not, they're assumed to be doing it right from the get-go, and it's a big battle to try to flip that around and to be held working in the public interest. I think was one of our biggest accomplishments, because that's been the number one thing. They've tried to vilify us. They tried to act like we're somehow working in our own interests, as if this is doing us any good. We can't even see the development from our house, but we're hydraulically connected by the creek, and we know the destruction that's going on. So, I mean, we've had questions from council members, and they'll say, well, what are you doing this for? We're doing it for the fish. We're doing it for the creek. No, really.
Really, what are you doing it for?
You know, and it's no, really, for the fish. You know, and no one can believe that someone would do that for the fish, but when you live on the creek like we do, and I'm sure a lot of people out there can feel the same way. I think that's just the attitude that people take. But I think when you take a look at that creek and you see it struggling, running through the middle of such an urban area, its headwaters start in Shoreline, and it runs down through Shoreline. It passes underneath I-5 and into Jackson Park and down through Lake City and in the most populous areas that we have.
Patty grew up on the Bogoshiel in a fish camp. I grew up on the banks of Lake Washington, so I didn't really see as many fish as she did. But there shouldn't be two sets of rules, and that's the thing that makes us crazy here. There's two sets of rules, and they've told us point blank, you can't expect us to treat these fish the way they treat a quality fishery out on the west side. Well, yes, we can, and that's what we're demanding. This is a quality fishery.
When you look down and you see crawdads at the bottom of the creek, every time you go look at the creek, when you see a blue heron, when you see an otter come in, when you see salmonids, cutthroat, rainbow, little coho smolt, every time you look down in the water, there's something alive and moving. When I'm looking at that water, I don't see anything different than the Bogoshiel River until you look up onto the banks. That's the only time that you're getting a different picture. That stream is struggling, and when nature is just left alone, give it a little bit of space, it'll recover. That's known over and over. Look at how they treat logging. A recovered forest is a 40-year-old forest. Now, that freeway went through over 40 years ago. That area, and that Aegis is now tearing up again, they were taking down over 100-foot tall cottonwood trees. That was a recovered area. And that whole philosophy doesn't seem to apply in the urban area. And now the we're getting so short of land that's what's left. It's the creek banks that are left. And this is really going to set a precedence as to whether or not we're going to pave over them like Northgate did in their south parking lot, or we're going to do the modern and the more scientific and the more what everybody wants and believes in their heart should happen, this new hybrid for Northgate where they're going to open it up and make a natural creek of it again. We're also smashed into the city. We really need these little places of green and places of life coming to the surface every now and then just to keep our sanity.
And my impression from seeing the documentary up Thornton Creek, the Aegis Project, you know, if you just say retirement home, you don't picture exactly what it is. I mean, I think it's more properly called what they would call a complex. I mean, it's a fairly large set of buildings, isn't it?
They're pretty schwank. They're high end of the retirement homes. And like I said, they don't accept Medicare or Medicaid. That's way out of their ballpark. They have a movie theater, a massage parlor, a health club, private dining rooms. that's what our main argument here was. We are not against a senior home being there at all. But all these amenities and all this square foot that pushes out into the buffer, and they've refused to go up with it. They'll only go three stories. They refuse to go any taller with it. They say that it's a danger for seniors to live in anything above three floors. Well, Madison House, there's a lot of different retirement homes around here.
The Foss Home, you can go on and on and on.
That go up higher.
Just doesn't hold water.
So their arguments have always been just to defend their original
design.
Yeah. And when they came to locate in our area, I mean, it's a square peg in a round hole. They had requirements. They needed to be by the freeway. That worked. They needed to be by the parks. They're right close to Twin Ponds Park. That worked. They needed an affluency requirement. Now, we're a Parkwood neighborhood. We're a real middle-class neighborhood, but we're close to Lakeside School. So that was close enough. That was their affluency requirement. And then their last thing was they needed that fire station. So the city provided that for them. So we've made a nice little nest for them, and we've defended them like a mother bird. The city of Shoreline has.
And as you pointed out, the fire station was your first indicator that something was, well, you didn't know at the time that something was up, but
right.
That shows just how long-term planning, how much had gone into this.
Yes.
We knew the development intentions for the stream. We had some fears about it because we had developers approach us. We own almost an acre, an extra large-size lot in Shoreline. And it stayed big because of the pond and because of the creek. And we've had developers, in fact, the same developers that we are appealing with the small house, approach us and say that we could put five houses in. And we're passing up on our retirement, and how can we do such a thing? And you look at the creek's there, you know. How could you do such a thing is our question.
So update us again on where you're at with this. It's starting to sound like it's somewhat positive now that Shoreline and Aegis are going against each other.
Yes, we are. At this point, we got the order from Superior Court that allows us to choose when this remand hearing is going to be. And the remand hearing is going to be about the existing standing occupied building and whether or not it is built on a fish creek or the ditch. And we get to choose the time, so we are getting our ducks in a row, and we're getting ready to do that. We're basically waiting for them to have some kind of a rebound effect on the south side. They're building, 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 and if they don't stop building, we're going to be having to file motions there, too. But we, as a single family, you know, can only spread ourselves out so far. So we felt like when we got this great order from Superior Court that voided these building permits, told them to measure from ordinary high water, not from a line down the middle of the pond, or edge of emergent vegetation, or all these things they've made up.
Boundaries.
Ordinary high water is in your code. You go measure from ordinary high water. And the pond is in the middle of the site between the north site and the south site. So we thought, well, with the order from the north site that tells them how to go measure the water, of course they'll measure it the same way on the south site. That would only be logical, but they're not. They're making us take them back into court to push the point and have them measure the same way on the south site. So things are turning, but I think our last prediction is maybe another 3 years. And we're certainly ready to go the long haul on this. We've made the investment in it, and if this, like we said in the beginning, if this was a 10-foot encroachment and not a 90-foot encroachment, we wouldn't be talking today. We'd be out enjoying the day.
Mm-hmm. So how can listeners support your efforts?
You can email to either email us or connect us to talk to us by phone. I will give you my business's website. And the name of my business is Sound Solutions, and we do organic pest management. So the website address is soundsolutionsopm.com. And on there has how to get an email to us. It's got our phone number on there. It's right under the growing rose bush on the website. And you can get a message to us. And I would recommend that to drop an email or write the city or call the city directly.
City of Shoreline.
City of Shoreline. Cityofshoreline.com is their email address, and their address is 17544 Midvale Avenue North, Shoreline, Washington, 98133. And if you did that attention to city council members, that'd be wonderful. That'd end up in the right place. Their number is 546-1700. So any kind of way of reaching them and letting them know that the creeks around here are important to everyone would be wonderful.
All right. Well, unfortunately, we're out of time. I want to thank you both for coming in.
Well, thank you.
We've just been talking with Patty and Tim Crawford. They are both Shoreline residents who have been battling the city of Shoreline and Aegis Assisted Living.